Okay, I'm good. You guys can hear me? You know, I was thinking, I was just looking at the words to that song, that it's only because of God that we got breath in our lungs, man. If he would just stop the world, if he would take his spirit out of the world, the whole world would just stop. Jason would just stop. I mean, God gives us this breath in our lungs. Sometimes we don't think about that enough, right, Cindy? Everything that the Bible says, John heard, the Bible says we live and move and have our being in Christ. And sometimes, Natasha, we don't think enough about how God, his spirit that allows us to breathe and to think and, you know, we... You know what it is? We don't contemplate enough. We don't think enough about the things of God. Right, Carolyn? We're so thinking so much about the world and everything. But without his spirit, we don't even exist. And you know, Sim, we just give so much, you know, just that song. We haven't played that song in a while, right, Rach? But just think about the breath in our lungs is only because we exist only because he allows us to exist. And we don't give him enough praise and we don't give him enough glory. Right, Ron? I don't know. The only thing I do want to mention, Alana, we know Alana, Glinda, Alana's in the hospital. We don't really know what's going on. I think Chris... They're trying to find... That's why they call it practice. I mean, you go in there and they got to figure out what's going on, right, Judy? Let's pray in the service. Let's stand. If you can, only if you can stand. What we're going to do is I'm going to pray and Kathy Lee will give us a little contemplation. You know, the Bible says to repent of your sins. If you repent of your sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So as we come before the Lord this morning and in preaching and praise and worship, you know, let us come before the Lord knowing that we are sinners and we're sinners only saved by grace. So, dear Lord, thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for the opportunity that we can worship. We are a people, Lord, that need to be more mindful of you. You know, we want to pull back the curtain. I mean, as we start a new sermon series this morning in Amos, and we look at the book of Revelation first, we want to pull back the curtain. We want to see what lies behind. We know you are sovereign. We know you are king. We know you are holy. Lord, convict hearers, Lord, if there's people today in this service that are truly not saved, that are truly not right with you, open their hearts, break them down, give them the spirit of repentance, Lord. We live in a world gone bad, and we know from just putting on the news, tomorrow's not promised for any of us. So we thank you, Lord, for your kindness, for your graciousness. We thank you, Lord, for giving us your spirit that we can live and move and have our being in you. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Be seated. Thank you. Go to the mighty book of Revelation. Were you proud of your daughter yesterday, Kimmy? Did you listen to your daughter yet? You didn't listen to your daughter on the radio? Ashley, what's up, man? She's got to remind you? Okay, we're starting off with a bang, huh, Miss Ashley? Yeah. Go to the mighty book of Revelation. You know, this is crazy. Glinda, I need bifocals, and here I am with two. And I get easily confused, Diane. I mean, I'm trying to do this and that, and I don't even. Let me try these. All right, these work. Go to the mighty book. We are starting a sermon series in the book of Amos, the burden bearer, but we're going to start in the book of Revelation. So, you know, we want to be good readers of the text. You know, Kathy called me yesterday, I think it was yesterday, the day before. When you call me and ask me a biblical question, you will be put on Front Street. No, I'm only kidding. But Kathy asked me about, when you go to the Bible, what does the right hand mean? The right hand has a meaning in the Bible. It really does. And the right hand is a right hand of power, usually. Or not only is it a right hand of power, but the right hand can depict good, and sometimes it can depict evil, right? So it's just it's power, but power comes in the effect of being powerful, like in power, or it can be where it's evil in your life. So you gotta, because the Bible says what? If you to cut off your right hand, right? So you gotta be careful readers of the text, but watch the power that's mentioned here in the book of Revelation. Starting in the fifth division, the first verse. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Now keep this in your watch pocket. The lion that is the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book with its seven seals. Go to the sixth division, starting in the ninth verse in the book of Revelation. It's up here if you need it. Talking about the fifth seal here. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even though as they had been, would be completed also. 12th verse. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree cast its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks and the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide from us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And here's the question. And for the great day of their wrath has come, who is able to stand? That's a serious question. Who is able to stand when the great day of the Lord comes? So we talk about here the right hand of power, right? And that's the Father is holding up the book, and the book could be only opened up by who? By Christ, right? And Christ is called what? The Lion, right? He's the overcomer. And you keep these things in your watch pocket. He is the Lion, the tribe of Judah. He overcomes. He's the one who's able to what? To break the seal, right? Because he's the what? He's the Alpha and the Omega. One thing you want to know about the book of Revelation that's really important is that it runs in cycles, right? So in this section here, it speaks about the final judgment on humanity, right? It's a picture of the end, but it's not yet the end, right? It's kind of the already and the not yet. The saint's prayer under the altar is answered by way of illustration, right? And because of this, the saints are told to what? They're told to rest. They're told to wait, right? They're told to wait. It's coming, but it's not yet here. And there's a great lesson, and Hamilton nails it. Now think about this. Everything people sell their souls to gain fails them when the great day comes. Whatever you are trusting in, whatever you have sold your soul into, will fail, Ben, when the great day comes. It will not last. See, we live, let me say this, we live in a temporal world. Everything that we have is temporal. Diane, when that great day comes, if you are not trusting in Christ, whatever you're holding on to will not last. It's not going to last. It's temporal. Well, in the book of Revelation, you'll always see, Dick, you see between the temporal and the eternal. And the problem for me first and for you second, are you trusting in the temporal or are you looking forward towards, Tony, the eternal? That's a question. That's a serious question. And that's what the book of Revelation, that's what the seals portray. Where is your trust in, right? Think about this. Politicians sacrifice their integrity when they get elected. The rich trade their life for money. The powerful exchange sexual relationships to gain influence. People, now think about this. People prefer enhancing their image instead of actually building character and learning biblical truth. See, there's a trade-off, Rachel, for the temporal and the eternal. And here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now. I was just talking, I think it was Jason. And notice we have another Jason and Heather back here, right? Jason and Heather now, and here's Jason and Heather. They're back again. But I was telling Jason, I'm 64 years old. Jason, I think, is what, 50? You'll be 50 years old? 59? 69. Oh, okay. Notice how we went to 40, right? But notice how time goes, how fast it goes. I mean, it's just, and Eggy, it goes so fast. The thing is, I'm telling you, the book of Revelation, what it does is it gives you that dichotomy, John, between the temporal and the eternal. Listen, it goes fast. Miss Ashley, Taylor, you're not going to be 39 years, I'm only kidding, but you're not going to be 30 years old forever. And so I think here we just want to think about these things as we go here in the book of Revelation leading to Amos. This is a stark picture. Look at when God knocks the mountains off their roots, when he rolls up the sky. Nothing in these people's earthly gain will help them. The Bible depicts what good is it if you gain the whole world, right? But lose your soul. See, Revelation, what is Revelation, Miss Ashley? It wants you to what? It wants you to look behind Caesar's throne. It wants you to look towards the eternal. And this is what's happening here. The judgment of the world. Look at chapter 6, verse 12 and 14. We know Revelation is what? It's apocalyptic. It's a picture book. Look at the judgment of the world. It's illustrated by cosmic, catastrophic metaphors. These allusions, you see them spoken in the Old Testament, right? These cosmic metaphors, according to Beale, are depicted as judgment on sinners, whereby he, God, conducts holy wars mentioned. We see this in Joel. We see it in Isaiah 34. But now, listen to this, man. But now, judgment is not merely against an individual or an ungodly nation, but against every unbeliever. Everyone who's an unbeliever, they will be judged. And here's what this is important. This is, listen, me first, you second. Here's my question to me first. Are we thinking on the things of God? Is that our life? Are we thinking on the things of God, or are we thinking more on the world, on the temporal, or concerning the eternal? This is exactly what the book of Revelation is teaching us. Where is our mindset? Where are we putting our trust in, right? In 6:15, Beale continues to explain, we are seeing final divine judgment because these groups of people are part of a corrupt world system for which Christ is overcome. What's interesting, look in 6 and 15. We see, look, nobody's exempt. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're a king, whether you're a queen, whether you're a politician, if you are not trusting in God, you are not exempt from this final judgment. Johnny boy, listen, the problem is it don't matter who you are. It matters who you're with. Let me say that again. See, it don't matter who you are, Trish. It matters who you're with. And that's a serious question, because the problem is we can walk into this church house, but are we really trusting in what this church house represents? That's a serious question. And that's a question for me first. And the book of Revelation, it's going to be, remember Miss Kathy, when we preached through the book of Revelation, I always use that Wizard of Oz type of thing, you know. You know, you go in there and you see the great Oz and you see that little dude behind the curtain, right? But at the end of the day, the curtain's going to be, see, the book of Revelation pulls back that curtain. It pulls back that curtain. It lets you see what's really important. Because you know why, Jason? We're so concerned with the temporal. You know, our paychecks and our jobs and you know, what politics. Man, this stuff, Nikki, it's sinking sand. Nikki number one, Nikki number two. Gene, it's all temporal unless you are with Christ and him crucified and resurrected. It goes fast. It goes really, really fast. Look at verse 16. They seek refuge, but there's no refuge in the earth. Nothing can hide them. They seek to avoid judgment, just as Adam and Eve did, trying to hide from the Lord, which was unsuccessful, to say the least. But there's the final question. Rachel, what's the question? Who can stand? Everybody, listen, I don't care. You can charge me to a blue. The Bible depicts the only people that will stand is if you are what? Standing in Christ, sealed by his righteousness. We are not going to live forever unless you're a Christian. And I'm telling you, when I read the book of Revelation, we went through it for many, 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 many weeks. Right, Judy? Right? Many weeks. And one thing you'll know about the book of Revelation, it runs in cycles. It gets to the end, but it's not there. It gets to the end. But at the end of the day, Kathy, Glinda, it's going to get to the end. It's going to... And the problem... Dana, we know. Dana, the thing is, when we get to the book of... I want you to think about the lion. Hey, Chief, good to see you, man. Well, I want you to think about the lion. It's important because remember the lion, the tribe of Judah, right? I want you to keep that in your watch pocket when we get to Amos. So think about the lion, the tribe of Judah. The lion roars. And you're going to see that when we get to the book of Amos. Now, look at this. Kena depicts the positive outcomes of these scriptures is to take courage that God will vindicate his suffering people. On the other hand, he will make the world recognize the God that they have spurned. Here's the thing. Bottom line. Real stuff. Either you are a child of God or you're not. Pam, there's no in the middle. Either you are or you're not. We've discussed this many times. You don't want to listen, you don't want to soft stroke this stuff. You don't want to have one foot in the Bible and one foot in the world. There's no turning back. There's too much at stake here. Denise, Rachel, Nikki number one, Nikki number two, Chief, Johnny Ide, Dominic, Natasha. Listen, we want to make sure that we are where we need to be because the lion, the tribe of Judah will judge. The lion will roar. And this is what the Bible is depending. You'll see that we line this up with Amos in a second. The seriousness of this text, we should ponder in our own lives. Here's the thing. So we're thinking of, Ron, think about this. Either fall on our knees in thanksgiving to God for his mercy, or fall on our knees and see if we are truly in Christ. That's it. There's no in the middle. The book of Revelation teaches us, now hear this, I want you to hear this, that complacency and compromise can be dangerous. Let me say that again. Kathy, complacency and compromise can be dangerous. In fact, the book of Amos will address these issues and ask one to ponder between, here's the deal, ritual and relationship. See, sometimes, John, we come to the church because it's ritual. Sunday morning, right? Rachel number two, we get up. But do we truly have a relationship? Not just in jargon, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. No, is this your life? Do you live and walk and have your being in Christ? That's a challenge. The world, Diane, is looking to snuff you out. It's looking to snuff me out. But here's the thing, Rachel, the lion will roar. That's the thing, and we're going to see that when we get to Amos. And you know what the book of Amos, what I love, you know what it says, Taylor? You know what it says, Ashley? The lion roars, all I can do is but prophesy. See, when you got a fire in your belly, when you want to preach and teach the things of God, you got nothing else to do but to prophesy. But not future telling. That's over with. That's over with. Everything future is in that Bible. You want to know the future? Read that Bible. Either you are or you're not. But today, the teachers of God's words, we foretell the Bible. We foretell the Word of God. And so I just want us to contemplate this morning before we get to Amos. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we preach life unto life or death unto death. There's no in the middle. Revelation gives us a picture of finality, finality in salvation as well as judgment. The saints wanted to rush to judgment. Would the prophet say to the saints, rest. Rest, God's got this. Right now there is a resting period. Right now. Because we're still here. But you don't know, tomorrow's not promised. Tomorrow's not promised for the world, or it's not promised individually. Especially now with Corona. You don't know. You don't know. And so we think about these things, right? The Bible says this, only his true sheep will hear his voice, right? And it's the voice of the roaring lion from the tribe of Judah. It is for this reason and this reason alone that we must as a church witness the gospel, because the time is short. Listen. Let me save that. As Keener depicts, despite the arrogant fantasies of God's enemies, human power will provide no refuge when Christ returns. Where are you going to hide? There's no hiding. When Christ returns, Carolyn, where are you going to go? Look at the picture. Look at the metaphor. The rocks. Nothing can hide. Listen, only you know your heart. Only you. And the Bible says, the heart is what? Deceitfully wicked. Who can even know it? The thing is, only if you are trusting in Christ and him crucified and resurrected will you be able to escape this day when he returns. Now watch this. We're going to go to the book of Amos. And we're going to start our new sermon series where the lion, Miss Ashley, Nikki, Jean, where the lion continues to roar. Go to Amos. Let's see. Two verses this morning. That's it. Let me see. What any notes here? I'll get there in a second. Book of Amos. Let me see. How's it go? It goes Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Right? That's 64 years old, kid. And I had brain surgery. Right? I did have brain surgery, right, Rachel? Oh, man, these are wrong. Johnny boy, I got to get bifocals. They're coming, man. Remember my mom used to say, they're coming. She used to say, oh, like Christmas is coming, right? We're going to look at two verses in the book of Amos today. And Amos, and I'm going to mention, he's a fig picker. Really, he owns a few sheep. He's a fig picker. But God took him. See, God uses the foolishness of the world to confound the wise. Right? You don't, right? First of all, when I think about fig pickers, I think about figs, right? I mean, this guy was a fig picker. But what you're going to learn about Amos is that I love that the first two verses. You see that, right? Don't start, Kathy. The first two verses of Amos is really, really, really important. And I want to read them before we go on. Now watch this. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep herders from Tekoa, which he envisioned in visions concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. He said, the lion what? Roars from Zion, and from Jerusalem he utters his voice, and the shepherd's pastures grounds mourn, and the summit of Carmel dries up. Listen. I love this because basically what Amos is saying, the Lord roars, who but can prophesy? And that's exactly what's going on now. I, I, Daniel Carroll has a great commentary and was helpful because we want to know the background. You know, like I tell people all the time, Taylor, you know you got to have the Holy Spirit to be saved. And the Holy Spirit gives you the unction, so to speak, to understand the Word of God. But as far as understanding background, you got to do study on that. What, you know, who was the kings at the time? Who was the, who, you know, what was going on in the Bible? So you got to study those things. Daniel Carroll was really helpful in discussing the background of this far-reaching text that we'll start to delve into this morning. Amos was an 8th century prophet, right? His prophetic ministry lasted a fairly short period of time. The scholars between 2 and 15 years, basically closer to probably 2 years only. Now we say to ourselves, what's the difference between prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah? And then, so what, why do they call minor prophets? The major prophets would be what? Would be Jeremiah, would be Isaiah, right? So why are these dudes called the minor prophets? It's not that they're like less prophets. They just prophesy for less of a period of time. That's why they're called minor prophets. You know, Isaiah is 66 books. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, Amos is like 9 chapters. And you got, you know, Hosea is like 12 chapters, Daniel's 9. So you see, they prophesied for a shorter period of time. That's why they're called minor prophets. They're not minor dudes. They're not less in who they are. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. But these prophets just prophesied for a shorter period of time. So Amos here, probably for around up to 15 years, probably on the closer end of the 2 years, right? And the time frame was from 765 to 750. That's about 15 years. Anybody was, Kim, you were not around in 750 BC. You were? She. Notice how her sister says she was, but her sister says, no, not me, I'm. But that's a story for another day. Now, there's a political context here in which Amos prophesied. It was during the time of King Uzziah, who was king over Judah, and Jeroboam II, he was king over Israel. They both reigned a little over 40 years, right? Now, what's interesting is that Amos was from a little town called Tekoa, which is in a province of Judah, but he's told to go preach in Israel, about 3 miles down the road. So here he is, and listen, it's funny, when you were from Judah, you had an accent. You had a funny accent. You see where I'm going here, right, Johnny Boy? Johnny Boy's going, yeah, okay, right? And then you went over to Israel or to Jerusalem, and you went and preached. And that you can see there's going to be a problem as we read this text. So, but there's something here. I want us to be good readers of the text. We have to understand what's going on here. Now, the historical data shows that Amos prophesied 2 years before the earthquake. This earthquake was so devastating that the prophet Zechariah mentioned it 200 years later. Now, context depicts that Jerusalem with its 10 tribes were a rebellious people. They took advantage of the less unfortunate. I'm just giving you background here. I don't want to lose you in the weeds, but it's important. It's my job to give you background of what's going on here, right? So Jerusalem, with its 10 tribes, they were rebellious people, took advantage of the less fortunate, but God would eventually bring judgment. But before he does, he brings warning. Listen, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you right off, this is why this book is far-reaching. God is going to judge sin, for sure. But he also brings warning. The warning is now. The time is now. Because the lion roars. I'm telling you, I know some of you, we say it all the time, Miss Ashley, we know that this is the most important. You know, I tell this all the time. Rachel, remember I told you one day I walked in the church. I walked in and Miss Ashley's in the back, you know, and she tells me, she says, Pastor, why can't we have church every day? That's the fire that God brings within the believer. Because at the end of the day, you know what I want to do, Johnny boy? I got a little spot here. You don't see it now. If you go in this closet, I got my little towel I put in there. No, Johnny, don't charge me on this. I got my little towel. I put a thing here with my little devotional. And I say to myself, when I come in here on Mondays after the SOS leaves, I'm kind of here all week, I want to lock myself in here. I feel safe. I mean, I love Rachel. She cooks for me. And, I mean, she's the best. I love my wife. But, man, I feel safe in here. I really do, man, because when you look at the world and you look at what's going on in this world, this is a sanctuary for me. This is a sanctuary. And here's the question. Where is your sanctuary? Where are you taking your solace in? Where is your place of rest? Because I'm telling you, tomorrow's not promised to anybody. Tony, we know that. We know that. Johnny Ide, how many times do we speak in our little things? Taylor, it don't matter how healthy we are. We know right now that tomorrow's not promised. And the book of Amos is going to keep us on notice. It's going to keep us on notice. It's going to warn us. Now, the theology in the book of Amos, as Carol continues, is that God is sovereign over all the nations. He judges all nations. All nations are a drop in the bucket under his sovereign rule. We as a people must realize that we live and move. How many says live and move and have our being in God? God is not mocked. As we saw in our opening text, the lion will eventually roar in judgment. Look at verse 1. Amos was the owner of sheep, but God gave him visions. And as mentioned, he was to leave his town in Judea and go back to Jerusalem. You know, eventually, when we get to the 7th chapter of Amos, probably in about 14 weeks or 18 weeks. Diane, don't start. Well, they're going to actually go up to Amos. They're going to say, hey, listen, dude, why don't you go back to Judea? We don't want to hear your words. Do you know when you're speaking the things of God and people don't want to hear it, they'll let you know they don't want to hear it. They will let you know. But at the end of the day, when you have that fire in you, Glinda, who else but then can prophesy? Not future telling, John, don't charge me. But just bringing God's word forth. When you got a fire, you know, Jeremiah, think about Jeremiah. We know this. Jeremiah, Ron, called the Lord a what? A deceitful brook. Think about that. And then the next couple of verses is, but who can but not prophesy? There was a fire in his belly. And at the end of the day, when you come to this church, you're going to hear the truth. There's too much at stake. Listen, don't trust in some prayer that you said 15 or 20 years ago. You have to live a life out. And that's what Amos, right? Rachel, number two, how many times have we spoken about this? You know, people will come up and they'll say a prayer. And listen, it's a life lived out. This is not just some one prayer that you say. And listen, I'm not saying God can't use that. But at the end of the day, this is a life lived out. Aim, because you know why, Johnny? Because the lion continues to roar. But someday he's going to roar in judgment. And then it's going to be too late, Jay. And then what? And then what? We were talking this morning. I know Jason a long time. I'm going to put him on Front Street anyway. Don't matter. You know, how long did it take you to get here? 45 minutes? Back in the day, Jay, we'd go 45 minutes an hour when we wanted to do something wrong. It was no problem, right? No problem getting in the car and going an hour and a half, especially in my old life. Chief, where's Chief? I can't see. Oh, there he is. Chief, hour and a half, no problem back in the day, right? If you had to do a score or something, it was no problem. Today, oh, I I drive 45 minutes to church? Are you kidding? How long did you, John, you drive an hour? How long, an hour? You went the speed limit, right? If he says yes, yet. Listen, you guys love me, right? Little bit, anyway. Do you know I lived with John and Trish for 6 months? After I got out of prison, I lived with my brother for 6 months, and he threw me out. Normally kidding. Now, you notice you're the biggest laugh, Kathy Lee. And then I went and lived with John and Trish, and ever since then, they never took nobody else after that. Was I the last one, John? Did you get... John says he don't want to... John, was I the last guy? Was there somebody after me?
I thought it was 5 years.
Oh, you think that's funny, Cecilia, huh? Thank you. Should I continue? These are the wrong glasses. Rachel, I need bifocals. Back to our text. Amos was an owner of sheep, but God gave him visions, and as mentioned, he was to leave his town in Judea and go to Jerusalem. He goes in a time of prosperity, where Israel was prospering under the wicked reign of Jeroboam II. Israel was adding territory. Who was the main prophet in Jerusalem when they were adding territory? Quiz. Jonah. Now think about what happens here. God is amazing. Jonah's prophesying to Israel, and they're extending their borders, right? And then God tells Jonah to go where? Nineveh, right? So Israel, under the wicked reign of Jeroboam II, is prospering. I see you, baby Jacks, is prospering, right? And they're all, and then Jonah, he goes to Nineveh, and they figure, where all that? And here comes old fig picker, right? Here comes the fig picker. And he turns around and says, you think you're... I mean, God's amazing. And we know Jonah don't want to go to Nineveh. God's got to put him in a whale taxi. He takes a whale taxi. He don't want to go to Nineveh, right? And then sure enough, they're prospering. And here comes the old fig picker. Who then but can prophesy? Because God is not mocked. And even though God will extend the borders of a wicked king, you're still... Listen, don't charge me on this. We're prosperous here in America. Even a lot of money is borrowed. Well, that's a story for another day. My neighbor's here, so we can talk politics another day, right? But we are a prosperous nation. But prosperity does not mean that we're saved. And we want to be careful of trusting in America, though it's a good place to live. But your trust better be in Christ and not in what's happening in this world. And this is exactly what happened. You know, Jonah goes to Nineveh, and here comes the fig picker to Jerusalem. He goes in a time of prosperity. Right? Jonah, who prophesied, he prophesied about these extended borders. Jonah was a guy that was getting all the amens and all the amens because the borders were extending. Then when he leaves and here comes this fig picker, and it's a different story. It's a different prophetic story. We have to be careful. Here's the problem. See, complacency set in Jerusalem. Listen to this. Complacency set in. And people start to believe their own press reports. We need to be careful, especially knowing when your prosperity, whatever you have today, listen, whatever you have is not yours. Whatever you have has been given to you by the Almighty God. Anything that you have today is not of your doing, it's of God's doing. Everything, He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Whatever you have today, He has given you. And God is not mocked. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be responsible first as a people, then as a nation. And here's the deal. Either you will repent and fall on your knees, or the rock, the lion, the tribe of Judah will fall on you. Because the lion continues to roar, who but can shall prophesy? And this is the thing, as we see, there's too much at stake in a world gone bad. We have to be careful in our own lives about being complacent in the things of God. We should, I should, never take God for granted. We must remember Cecilia, He's a holy God. Jan, He's a holy God. Besides Israel's complacency, it was practicing, here's the deal, social injustice, taking advantage of the poor and lowly, the ones who could not even defend themselves. And God is going to send judgment. The lion roars like a lion. Amos goes verse 2. And remember, here's the thing. Prosperity does not always mean blessing. Let me say that again. Prosperity does not always mean blessing. We know, John, we know about the prosperity gospel. We know just because people speak prosperity, does not mean you're being blessed. We live in a prosperous nation, right, Glinda? No guarantee. This nation is not one nation. Well, let me say that. Let me hold that, because I don't know how. No, let me hold that. I'm going to get back to that. One nation under. I'm going to get back to that. Judy, don't charge me, because I don't want to tip my hand right now. Pam, don't look at me like that. I'm going to get there. I promise. Verse 2, prosperity does not always mean blessing. Here it would mean injustice, which Amos will bring to the forefront. You don't think the mighty and the rich take advantage of people? Do you think that? You don't think that the rich people don't take advantage of people? I mean, you think about it, and you know what? God is not mocked. Listen, here's the deal. People are going to be, you can't. Time out. No, really. Think about your heart. You know that you are wicked in your heart. You know it. If you have the Holy Spirit, you know your thoughts. You know your. If you don't have the Spirit, you think you're okay. But if you have the Spirit, you know. You know it. You want what your neighbor has. I said this a million times too. And prideful? How prideful? Come on. This is all quiz, Glinda, right, Rachel? Who's the first person you look at in a picture? It's you. Don't tell me that you look at a picture and you say, how great my cousin look. You look at you. And if you look good, Taylor, don't you even give me that face. Because if you look good in that picture's great. If you don't look, I don't like that picture. Diane, because that's how we are. John's looking at me like, I even got him smiling. He don't smile for nobody. John, don't tell me you say, you look at the picture and say, look at my wife. No, if John, you don't look good in that picture's horrible. All right, nobody, maybe it's only me. No, Jason says, I look at Heather first. If Heather, right, Jay, you look at, right? Yeah, it's Heather, it's. Look at America, as we mentioned, the prosperous country. a land of plenty. But are we really? The question is, here it is. As a nation, do we have spiritual prosperity? The question is, are we really one nation under God, right? Or one nation under many gods? But here's the real absolute truth. Here's what I wanted to say. Are we a nation under God? Yes, every nation is under God. Every nation, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The problem is we're going to be responsible. And that's the question. Every nation is under God. Everybody's going to be responsible to this God. Say that again? We don't act like that. Every nation, every knee shall bow, whether you're a believer or not. Tony, listen, it don't matter. Everybody, there's going to be a separation between the sheep and the goats. If you are not a believer, you are still going to bow down before that king. He's the sovereign Lord. He's the lion, the tribe of Judah that roars. And at the end of the day, Harry, we're all going to be responsible to that king. And that's why I say to people, either you get right with the Lord now, because it can be too late. He's going to finally roar in judgment. Listen, the heart is deceitfully wicked. You don't know. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. I know you guys are planning a wedding. I know that. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, tomorrow is not promised. Your challenge is, where are you at today? Where is your marriage going to go forth? Is it going to be in the things of God? Because here's the deal. My cousin Nicole's getting married soon. Maybe if I marry them. We have to see. We have to see. Here's the deal. When we marry somebody in this church, we counsel them in the things of God. We, in fact, you know what we're taught in seminary, Rach? We're taught to try to talk them out of the marriage. We want them to fight for the marriage. Judy, don't give me those faces. Did you do good in the sale yesterday? Yes. You did good? Okay, good. Every nation is under God. Everybody, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Well, we will see in the book of Amos, when we get to the judgment on these nations, that none of these nations recognize God as sovereign and would eventually be judged. That's the problem. Do we recognize God as being sovereign in this nation? That's a serious question. That's a serious question. In fact, God's judgment would fall first on Judah, then on Jerusalem. Both would be judged not adhering to God's laws, his mandates, or his principles. The book of Amos is a stark reminder of God's sovereign rule and reign over the earth, the nations, and all of mankind. The book has far-reaching ramifications that we must take heed. Almost done. Now, in fact, there would come a time in the book of Amos that a spokesman for the king would beg Amos, go back to Judah, man. You guys haven't told me to go back to New York yet. Kim said, your mother said something, Ashley. I couldn't read the lips because I had the wrong glasses on. Rachel, I couldn't read them. Oh, I love you guys, man. How could you not want to come here every week, Jason?
We would love for them to come.
Yeah. I'm switching glasses again. Here's the deal. We are called to be countercultural. Not as future-telling prophets, but foretellers of God's word, warning people of the impending doom on unrepentant sinners. For we know God's word today is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. We'll learn as we study this book that there's a misuse of power by nations. Now, this is important. This is what you're going to learn in Amos, that the nations are over here. Let me get here, Kathy, so you can see. So the nations are here. They're misusing their power. They're overusing their power. And that's no different, Glinda. Glinda, that's no different than the world today. We want to be careful. The nations that God has put into place, the nations better not overstep their boundaries, Diane. Rachel, they better not overstep their boundaries, Tony, because they will be judged. And this is what we're going to find out here in the book of Amos. They're overstepping their boundaries. A misuse of power, especially Jerusalem, who are taking advantage of the poor and the downtrodden. We'll also read about foreign military exploits from those who surround Jerusalem, who are laying heavy hands on their neighbors. Basically, it's a free-for-all. Everybody wants to be king of the hill. Just like today, each nation on the world stage is striving for absolute power. But again, we must remember that all the nations, Psalm 2, that's your homework. Read Psalm 2. All nations are a drop in the bucket to the Lord. He has the absolute right hand of power. Look at the text. The Lord roars. He will have the final say, no matter how mighty these nations think they are, no matter how much they want a power grab. The Bible depicts in, now listen to this. The Bible depicts in Psalm 2 that the Lord laughs at these nations who think they're in control. How foolish they are. You know, Carroll, one of the expositors here in the book of Amos, says this. He describes this time in history. Now, think about this. It's almost like a Charles Dickens poem, really. It was the best of times, but it was the worst of times. It was an age of wisdom. It was an age of foolishness. It was an epic of belief. It was an epic of disbelief. It was a season of light. It was a season of darkness. And just think, it would be Amos, a sheep owner, a fig picker, that would prophesy against Jerusalem, who did not understand the times. This is the deal. The sons of Issachar. Listen, if you read in the book of Chronicles, I know nobody likes to read the first 7 or 8 chapters of Chronicles. There's a thing in there. If you read them, they just talk about genealogies from this. But the sons of Issachar, you know what they were known for? Rachel, you know. They were known because they discerned the times. Listen, man, Johnny boy, listen, Cecilia, we have to discern the times. We have to be like the sons of Issachar. We have to understand the times that we live in. The time is short, Jason. Darlene, the time is short. We have to be like the sons of Issachar. We have to discern the times. Pink Floyd, ticking away the moments that make up a dull day. Fritter and waste the hours in the offhand way. Time just keeps going. And then one day you wake up. Watch, Chief. What's the song say? Anybody Pink Floyd fans? You better not be. I'm only kidding. You want the mic? Give him the mic, Ashley. Who was the lead singer? Roger Waters, right? Kim's shaking her head. You was not a Pink Floyd fan, Kim? But right, ticking away the moments. Then you wake up one day and so many years have gone. Right? I mean, think about it. That's why the Bible says to redeem the time, because the days are what? Talk to me. Evil. 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 God in his word depicts it's the foolishness of the world that confound the wise, the fig pickers of the world. The Bible depicts let one who thinks he stands take heed to be careful that he does not fall. Judgment's not a word that we want to hear today, especially in a society that people are doing what's right in their own eyes. Amos is going to pull back the curtain, if you will. He's going to give you a glimpse behind God's heavenly throne. It will show again a world that's at ease, basking in its own power and its own might, which is an illusion. It's a deception. For this reason, here it is. We must be on our guard. We don't know the day or the hour when the lion will roar for the last time. That's what we're going to learn in the book of Amos. It's going to take us about probably 30 weeks. So you're expected to be here every week, Heather. Every week we're going to be checking your name. Heather's going, okay. You know, if we can't speak as a family, then we can't speak. Right, Carolyn? Dick, listen, we have to, I'll give you an old Italian term, we have to let our hair down, man. There's too much at stake. I'm telling you. And you can turn around and say, oh, you know, this guy ran. At the end of the day, our Bible study. You know what I tell them in our Bible study, John? Wednesday night, 6:30. I'm only kidding. You know what we don't even have a time limit no more in our Bible study. You can't even get out of here. I mean, I think we get out of here, what was it, 8 o'clock? Dana's got a bad back. He starts stretching around 7:30. Dan Pierre don't even close his Bible anymore, right? I mean, Dan used to start closing the Bible at 7:30. People start looking at him. He just leaves it open, right? Tony? Tony's never lost for words in our Bible study, ever, right? You got any questions for Wednesday? Tony, right now, no, don't start, Pam. Right? Look, he's writing stuff down already. He's got like a phone book. We love Tony, right? And this is Tony. Like, he's like one, like, you know, we're just about to wrap up and it'll go like this. You got something, Tony? Just, yeah, I think I do, Pastor. What did he say? What? I'll say, but not on this topic. Where are we going now, Tony? We'll be here for another 2 hours. Notice anybody that sits by Tony, they don't sit by him no more because they want to just give him the stage himself. But that's what we do as a family, man. You know, Dan, don't charge me on this. So when I came to, just to break for a second, when I first got hired here, they told me, John, you'll get a kick out of this. They says, we like the preacher to preach for about 30 minutes. I says, 30 minutes? Takes me 30 minutes to say hello. So I bartered for Dan, don't start, remember Dan? So I bartered for 40. Now they just leave this dude alone, man, just... What'd you drop, Nikki? Everything. At the end of the day, the lion will continue to roar. But there's going to come a time, Kathy, that he's going to stop. My admonition to you is while he is roaring the word of God today, whether it's this through this lowly preacher or wherever you're hearing it, take heed, because the time is short. The lion roars, but someday that roar will stop, and every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then he will separate the wheat from the tares. My question is to me first. I tell people in our Bible study, I know they think I'm crazy, but I tell them when I preach on Sunday, everybody in the audience and me are unbelievers. I know you're not. I know there's believers. Believe me. And I believe by God's grace I am. But I preach on Sundays where nobody's a believer. Nobody. Because I want you to repent and believe the gospel if you are not a believer. There's too much at stake. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Believers still have to repent, right? I mean, we have to repent of our sins. Especially when you're saying, when's this guy going to finish? I'm only kidding. At the end of the day, let us stand and pray out. And then we'll sing a song and we'll leave. Let's stand. And Aggie, we love you, and Aggie. We love you, and Aggie. Dear Lord, thank you for Amos. Thank you for the seed picker, fig picker. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you can, that we can be reminded of your word. Lord, we're not going to be able to dot every I and cross every T, Lord. But at the end of the day, we love you. And if there's anybody, man, listen, if there's anybody in this congregation, first of all, like Kathy says, as believers, we need to repent. But maybe there's somebody here that is not a believer, and they're just here because who knows, maybe they just walked in, or maybe they're just here for some other reason. But at the end of the day, Lord, only God the Holy Spirit can convict them. Only God the Holy Spirit can show them of their sin and acknowledge that they are in need of a Savior. Oh, God, please rain upon their heart. Let them know, Lord, that they are a sinner. Let them know that they can find solace in the God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Please, Lord, by your grace, through your Spirit, open up the hearts. Open up their hearts. And like Kathy says, let the believers, we know we need repentance too. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord.